Do you remember a time when sleeping on the floor with your friends wouldn't have been considered weird? The management of this website invites you to a new dimension in podcasting, an experience so fun, it can only be compared to a childhood sleepover. It's not just about horror.
Tom Atkins proves that any man is leading man material.
It's not just about action.
If you're going to rank Van Damme movies,
yeah, it's up there.
I'd put it top five.
It's not just about comedy.
There's no other person in the world that loves Weekend at Bernie's more than you.
It's not just about science fiction.
And you scrim with, like, a beautiful comb over.
It's about nostalgia. Can you survive the Saturday night movie sleepover? It's not a movie. It's a podcast about movies.
You can follow Saturday Night Movie Sleepovers at SaturdaySleepovers.podwitz.com. That's SaturdaySleepovers.podwitz.com. On Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Player FM, and Stitcher.
Everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.net, movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined for this very special pre-scary movie month podcast by my best friend, Doug.
Hey, Patrick.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Oh.
Are you so excited? Today, the day that this show comes out, is actually Scary Movie Month Eve, which is a holiday. You put out scary socks, and then at midnight, they turn into used DVDs of all of the Leprechaun and Pumpkinhead movies. So maybe don't leave out your socks.
Should I watch Leprechaun and Pumpkinhead for Scary Movie Month?
I think Pumpkinhead is good. I've only seen Pumpkinhead 2 in that series. Like, I think there's multiple Pumpkinhead movies, but I've only seen Pumpkinhead 2, and it's not great. And Leprechaun, I feel like
I'm a big Rachel fan.
I know you are. And
I had the Rachel haircut all through the 90s.
Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure is also in that movie, but Leprechaun is not great.
Okay.
So maybe
there's any Leprechaun that's great?
I mean, there are people who like Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun in Space.
They like it ironically, though?
Yeah, I believe it's for the camp value. Those are movies that know that they are terrible.
Gotcha.
And some people dig that. I mean, Leprechaun 2, I think, if that's the one I'm thinking of, the Rodman Flender one. Your boy, Rodman Flender, director of Idle Hands.
I like Idle Hands.
You are the biggest Idle Hands fan that I know, which doesn't make you the biggest Idle Hands fan, but you're certainly the biggest one that I know.
There's a couple grab ass scenes in that movie that are worth the $1.50 rental.
That was the movie that introduced you to Miss Alba, correct?
You know, she had been in Flipper, I think, before that. But yeah, Idle Hands was my introduction to Jessica Alba before she was Jessica Alba. And I had such a little crush on that siren, especially when she's in the angel outfit and the midriff gets torn away and she gets strapped to the top of a car and the car gets pushed up and her lady parts get pressed on the ceiling, and then she gets dropped down. He cuts the rope off. She hops down, and Devin Sawa kisses her, and he kind of grabs her ass. And it's just like, I feel like I've said too much about Idle Hands.
There was a point there where I wanted to clarify that you were describing scenes from Idle Hands and not a weird torture thing that you did
My
to Jessica
sex
Alba.
No, there's something even weirder that happens down there. It involves Paul Walker and the Deep Blue Sea.
So we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff on this week's show because
F everything.
That's right. That's what we tend to do going into Scary Movie Month. We want to do just a fun, wacky mix-em-up show to get everyone excited for Scary Movie Month, which starts tomorrow. Again, if you're listening to this podcast, the day that it comes out.
Then
we always celebrate the start of Scary Movie Month with a commentary. So you guys are going to get a bonus episode, two shows in 1 week. That's how we do for Scary Movie Month. You guys get spoiled.
By and large, do you feel like commentaries can be listened to by themselves, or do you recommend that they're watched with the movie, or do you just say watch them however you can listen to them however you can listen to them?
I guess listen to them however you can. I mean, I think they're fun with the movie, but I think we offer so little in terms of actually commenting
right
on
there.
What's happening
Stop
on screen
right
that you could probably listen to it without watching the
we offer so little
movie. So we're going to be talking about Scary Movie Month. We're going to be talking about a couple different things. But first, Douglas.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen anything good lately?
It's been a while since I've been on the show.
It's been a while.
And I think the last show I was on was Wet Hot American Summer.
I believe it was The Avengers.
The Avengers.
The first Avengers.
The very first one?
The one with Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman.
So I was just talking into
Sean
my
Connery
microphone
in a bear suit. And he's like, God, I'm going to control the weather.
I am the last one.
Yes, it was, I think, Wet Hot American Summer.
So it's been a while, and now I'm back on the show. So I've seen a bunch of stuff.
Catch us up on everything you've seen in the interim.
I'll just really quickly run through my list, and I don't have an actual list. I'm just going off of memory because I'm like one of those awkward waiters or waitresses at the restaurant that
doesn't write your order down.
It's so incredibly frustrating.
Are you sure you don't need to write this down? Because
she's medium well, and I'm medium rare. There's a difference. You want to write that down?
You sure? No,
she's a Diet Coke, and I'm not any Coke. You're not going to write that down?
You're not going to write this down? You're not.
I'm going to go off the top of my head, and then I'm going to come back in like 3 minutes. I'm sorry. Did you say Diet Coke?
Wait. Why do both our straws have the little piece of wrapper at the top still?
Exactly. What? One of them should be off.
What does this mean?
So I saw Ant-Man. Boring. What a fucking boring movie. I love Paul Rudd like everyone else who has a pulse, and he is charming and great. And that movie was just a boring, like, nothing. It was inoffensive. There's
There's
a couple moments where it's like, ah, that's not the worst. And none of it's the worst. But there's a couple moments where they're, yeah, that's good. But it's just so boring. I moved on. And then, you know, I think you and Heath, I believe, talked about Ant-Man. So listen to that podcast. I'm just going to kind of promote previous podcasts using
the three P's.
That's right. And then I watched Jurassic World.
You know, that's the biggest movie of the year.
Piece of shit. It is such a piece of shit. I hated every...
This is a new segment where Doug catches up on summer movies and sings his reviews.
Boring. Piece of shit. There's only two categories so far. Doesn't bode well for the good movies that come out in summer. I did not like any moment of Jurassic World. I thought the whole thing.
Where were you when we did that show?
Really, really, really dumb. And I know that I reread or I listened to the podcast after I watched it. And you guys both make some great points. I tend to agree with your teardowns a little bit more than Mr. Risky's props-em-ups. And then I read the comments, and there's one commenter in particular who just was like, I think just trolling and just made me very angry because the movie is a piece of garbage. And I am so angry, but I will say this, and I think I wrote you this separately, but I'll just say it out loud because it's such a unique, wonderful, fun thought. I know my fans love to hear my thoughts. There is something, we're all animals. We are not without our sort of predilections and things that we kind of gravitate towards. Yeah. There's a commercial
out for a long time. I found Kim Kardashian attractive. I wasn't happy about it.
Listen, there's...
That's gone away, by the way. That has gone away.
Empirical things that your body might respond to, like stimuli that are like, well, I can't help it. My animal instincts, my reflexes sort of just, you know, naturally respond to these things. There's a commercial right now out in California for Carl's Jr. You might know it in the Midwest as Hardee's. I am such a California snob, by the way. I only eat Carl's Jr. and drink no water because there's zero water in California. There's a commercial for Carl's Jr. out here, and they're famous for making really shitty commercials, specifically because they just sort of use very buxom and or sexy women and make, you know, it's just shitty. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. Just they sexualize them. And what's the word? Help me out.
Sexualize?
Kind of.
Every commercial is just like, look at this hot, mostly naked lady. Eat this shit food.
So there's a newer model.
We're the worst.
Is Charlotte McKinney, who has enormous breasts, and she has an okay face, and she is very pretty empirically. And she is on this commercial, and she kind of is fake naked, like things are blocking our view of her bits and pieces. Yes. And then she eats a very sloppy burger, and it's like, oh, we're American, and we like sloppy nakedness. And don't get me wrong, there's a part of this commercial where it's like, I can't help but instinctually respond to a naked woman eating a burger that looks delicious, even though you know it's horrible for you. I feel like that was Jurassic World, that there's moments where it's – there's action sequences and there's some moments in the movie where you kind of – if you space and just kind of get wrapped up in what's happening on screen without thinking, it's like, oh, yeah, dinosaur is scary. This is scaring me. I'm watching something that's not – that's oh. And then you like wake up and you're like, this is a piece of shit. This is a bad, bad movie, and they're manipulating me into thinking it's a good movie, and it's not at any point a good movie. I'm even disappointed by Mr. Chris Pratt, whom I love. I recently watched most of Parks and Recreation. I think the last season is not on Netflix yet. I can't wait till it is, even though I heard it's not the best season. I just need closure. God damn it. Andy Dwyer is the best and endearing, and he obviously as an actor has so much charm and charisma, and whatever part of that character that works is all due to Chris Pratt. However, there is no character there. There is nothing to like in his character. There's nothing even remotely likable necessarily about him aside from the fact that he's just a badass who fixes motorcycles on the beach in a Costa Rica island, and he shows up and kills dinosaurs. It's like, what about this character? If nothing else, that is a secondary character. That is the hunter. That is the Velociraptor tamer from the first Jurassic Park. Why? This should not be the lead character. We need a hot dad, is my point. We need a Sam Neill, a.k.a. hot dad, to be
I had no idea
like,
Sam Neill was the eye candy in Jurassic Park.
I
always thought it was Wayne Knight.
You talk to Risky, it might be a Dern. But for me, it's Sam Neill. Owner and proprietor of a winery. I believe that's his Twitter handle, is like his wine company, which he's following after this movie, by the way.
We will never miss an opportunity to talk up Sam Neill because he follows after this movie.
But he is great in that movie for lots of reasons, but the least of which is not because he's just some sort of like rugged hero that has to save the world, basically. I don't know. And I think really a big misstep in just making Chris Pratt should be a secondary character, and there should be some other character who I have some sort of like, I don't know, like stakes, that has some stakes, and there's no stakes. And I don't know, Bryce Dallas Howard is a cartoon character, and I get that she has an arc and no one else really has an arc. The movie's dumb. I really thought it was shitty. Sorry.
That's okay.
I talked about it too long, by the way. That's I didn't mean to. I was supposed to sing my review.
I was not a fan of it either. And again, the people keep pointing, well, what do you expect? You know, it's this fun movie about dinosaurs. I'm like, no, what you're describing is Jurassic Park. It's like saying, like, again, to use your fast food analogy, like there's two McDonald's hamburgers next to one another. And you're like, yeah, they're both McDonald's hamburgers. You're like, no, this is a McDonald's hamburger. This is one that someone threw up. So I'm going to eat the one that was just served to me.
Well, there's something you said previously that I think was really, really perfect for this scenario. You said,
I like where you're going with this.
There's a lot of things Patrick Bromley says that are really insightful. And I think about, I actually wear a bracelet that says WWPBD. And I think about this. You said kind of in reference to, well, just it's a dumb dinosaur movie. What do you expect? And the other argument, like, just turn your brain off. And what I thought was great that you said is that, oh, no, I use my brain to have fun. Like, I use my brain to enjoy myself. I can't turn it off. Like, so be a little respectful of the people. Whatever.
Yeah, we don't need to have this conversation again. But you talking about the Charlotte McKinney, like, I used to think sometimes that Kim Kardashian was pretty, I would talk about like, oh yeah, she makes me want to punch my own boner, because I would be like, oh, she's pretty, and then I would hate myself for thinking that. I get that.
Punching your boner that doesn't get you off?
That's now my response when I see the trailer for The Last Witch Hunter, because I know it's going to be a garbage movie that Nicolas Cage probably passed on.
Nicolas Cage!
But when I see Vin Diesel holding a flaming sword, I'm like, I'm going opening weekend! And then I punch my boner because I'm mad at myself for having that thought.
For me, punching my boner is a means to an end. I don't think it is like a punishing move. It's more like, how does this work? Punch, punch, punch. It's working! It's working!
What else besides
all over the place?
What else besides the greatest hits of last June have you seen?
Well, I'm going back to 1978. I watched Grease.
I saw you wrote something on Twitter about Grease, and it was very funny. What was it?
I wrote that of all the movies that end with a magical car flying off with the two romantic leads into the sky. Grease is the best one. Grease is the best movie that does that. Because, listen, I have a long history. There might be a podcast here in the future. I won't say too much about Grease because who fucking cares? And it's been said a billion times before about Grease. But I will say that I have a long history. My mom and dad are from, they went to high school in the 50s. My mom was such a huge fan of this movie. So much so that one year for Christmas, when Grease first came out on VHS, she wrote in her Christmas list, Grease. I want Grease. And everyone knew, of course, that she wants to own this movie. My brother, being the smartass and also kind of funny and also like ahead of his time, bought the VHS tape, and then in his engineering job had access to a very primitive form of CAD and fashioned a fake VHS cover that was a Pennzoil logo, and it says Grease, part 3 of a 7-part series, part 3, Lubricating Your Chassis. And then Saran wrapped that over the Grease tape, and it's hilarious. And he showed me that this, he's going to, you know, punk mom. And of course, my mom Christmas morning opens it and pulls it out, and she's like, what's this? And then immediately realizes it's Saran wrap, takes it off, crumples it up, and says, thanks for buying me Grease. And it's like, fucking mom, that's a joke. That's a hilarious joke about Grease, that you asked for Grease, and my brother got you a instructional video. Anyway, Grease, I have a long history with, just having watched it a billion times. It's the moments that work are so wonderful and great. There's a lot of weirdness that I'm more aware of now in my 30s. Just like, this is an odd movie in which the male lead is really shitty to the girl over and over again. And she likes him so much that she becomes a really bad person to be with him.
Stockard Channing is clearly a 40-year-old woman.
By the way, I realized this last viewing, I have a Stockard Channing crush.
No, she's fine. She's Stockard Channing. But there's a style of acting in that movie that makes me crazy, particularly from Danny Zuko's like Friends. It's this weird, frenzied, I don't know how to describe it, but it's
kind
so
of manic. Yeah, it's everything very is a twitch and a move. Yeah.
Yeah, and just the dialogue. Whatever. I mean, it's Grease. It's Grease. It's like reviewing a birthday. Like, what's the point? It's, you know what I mean? It's like, it just, it's this fact. Like,
because you have said that, yeah, it's reviewing a birthday. That's perfect. I after Grease was over, I put on Grease 2, which I
just
also
as good,
have
I believe,
very,
yes.
A very weird relationship with, specifically because I think, based upon the fact that my mom was such a big fan of Grease, it was on a lot when I was a kid. My sister and her friend Kelly Kale, from across the street, one summer discovered Grease 2 somehow from like the public library, rented it or borrowed it, and watched it every day, if not multiple times a day, for like an entire summer. So I, much like with my relationship with Garth Brooks, know every word and every beat of a shitty, terrible movie that is Grease 2. Adrian Zemed is John Travolta's reflection in a car door.
Yeah, he is. He's bizarro Travolta.
It is so odd. He's such a little person with big 80s hair. And there's a scene where the male lead or the male romantic interest is a guy named Maxwell Caulfield, sure, from England. And he's the cousin of Sandy. But Sandy, very clearly, from Australia. Do we just, like, as Americans,
Maxwell
like,
Caulfield is Rex Manning in Empire Records.
Yes, yes.
A movie that I will never...
I love it.
Someday we'll do a podcast on Empire Records, and if you're a fan of that movie, you will not like that podcast.
Son of a... I feel like, back to Grease, the manic, twitchy performances of all the sidekick characters are what every high school kid watched in preparation for performing it on their high school stage, because
oh, for
that is
sure.
Like every high school, like all these like shoulder shrugging mannerisms and let's go get a slice of pizza.
that's pretty spot on.
John Travolta is great in that movie though. He is so smooth. I mean,
he's so great up to a point, like, because I talked about it on last week's show. I watched Staying Alive, and it's such a bad movie, and yet you're just like, oh, John Travolta is like such a movie star. He smiles, and you're just like, whatever. I don't care about this shitty movie. You are so great.
Incredible, charismatic, and his moves. Even there's a couple dance sequences in Grease and in Saturday Night Fever, which obviously is a masterpiece and has some unbelievable dancing moments, where he is so smooth that like if anyone else tried, like me, 6'3", awkward, lanky like, if even if I had his, it just be like, nope, doesn't work. You need to
you know
be
who
his.
Would crush that shit though? Zmed.
Zmed. I love also in Grease 2, it's like, instead of cars, we're into motorcycles. And the girl that's going to tell us all about this is the slut's younger sister who's in junior high, who's like the sidekick. She might as well be named Mouse because she is like explaining to the British guy, like, you either need to be a cycle, you need to have a cycle or be a cyclist's old lady or some bullshit line.
I don't know if I've ever seen Grease 2. I definitely have seen enough of it. Like, I know there's a song about bowling. I know there's like, let's do it for our country when they're in a bomb shelter and like trying to have sex, right?
Shooter McGavin is the star of that sequence where he's trying to court his girl in a bomb shelter because he fakes the world ending. Like, there's a nuclear bomb, so he wants to get laid.
It's like, that's six kinds of rape. What is that?
Right.
And that's just like what we do in our teen musical.
Right.
That's demented.
Well, yes. He eats pieces of shit like you for breakfast. So yeah, I watched Grease. Actually, I didn't finish it because it was on so late. And I'm like, what am I doing? I've seen this.
Will
times.
You finish it though?
Like,
will you go back and be like, all right, I got to see the rest of Grease 2.
Maybe, if only to have that conversation with my sister, like where I shake her shoulders and like, what did you do to me?
That's called an intervention, not a conversation.
You made me the way I am.
Anything else?
Yeah, the last thing I'll talk about is something I watched. Well, briefly, I watched Killing Them Softly. It's on Netflix. I think I read something that you had written or maybe Adam Riske had written on the website. It's kind of half a movie. And I think
a lot of it was cut out.
Right. You have a great column where you talked about movies that were almost – help me out. It's like movies that were almost ruined by studio intervention, kind of like that.
All right. That sounds like something – some dumb shit I might have said.
You said, I use my brain to write this column. it was movies that were almost ruined by studio intervention, and the last one you mentioned is Killing Them Softly, and I read it's just a brief paragraph. I encourage everyone to read that at fthismovie.net, where you said the Weinstein brothers just – took this 3-hour movie and made it like just over 90 minutes. And it's still good. I actually like the movie a lot, but it's you could tell that there's so much there. I mean, the performances from James Gandolfini and from Brad Pitt are like so – have so much texture. And you know that like there's a scene that gets cut off. Like, oh, no. They're about to talk about something interesting that
cut.
Maybe doesn't
get to the next
right.
shootout.
It doesn't relate to the plot. But it's like, oh, this would explain their motivation and their character. And it's a shame that the movie, we can't see a longer version of that because I know you're a big fan of the Jesse James.
Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, yeah.
And that's a masterpiece. And this could have been maybe. I mean, it's impossible to say, but I still liked it. But even it ends just like, oh, I guess that's where we're going to end. It didn't need to end right there, but... And then after that, I put on a movie, and this is the last thing I'll talk about, a movie on Netflix streaming right now called Flight World War II.
What?
This is a movie that is on Netflix. I guess it's a direct-to-video from Asylum, which you probably...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything about that. In fact, I just quickly referenced Wikipedia before I...
They're the company that puts out the fake version of every big movie in the hopes that, like, your mom will accidentally rent Transmorphers at the video store, you know? Like, there's no video store anymore, so I don't know what their business model is. A lot of it's their stuff goes right to sci-fi.
Okay.
Every once in a while, an okay movie will get through. Like, they did a movie called Mercenaries a couple years ago, which was, like, the fake female Expendables starring my girlfriend Zoe Bell. And it's not terrible, you know.
Okay.
I believe that's
well,
also
this movie is terrible?
Oh, yeah. Most of them are unwatchable garbage.
Well, the plot of this movie, and this is what drew me in, a modern-day passenger airplane, a 757, is flying transatlantic from Dulles to London. Seems pretty normal, right? Well, check this out. You'll never guess what happens. There's a portal, a time wrinkle, if you will, a bright light in which they fly directly into as like, what is that?
And directly like, into World War II?
Directly into 1940s France.
Whoa.
This is the fucking movie. So it's like a modern day passenger airplane that flies into a wormhole, is in 1940s France, and you would not believe how quickly they all understand and accept where the fuck they are. Like, it happens so fast. It happens so very, very fast. Where there's, thankfully, there are two history professors from Akron on their way to a conference in London. Their specialty being World War II history. So they looked out the window when they arrived in 1940 France, and they said, this is the bombing of Saint-Nazaire. That's a Junker 88. We are in 1940. Like, what else could this be? Those are German bomber planes bombing the west coast of France.
And do they immediately win the war and alter the course of future history?
No, one of the guys wants, this square-jawed guy wants to kill Hitler. So he tries a coup, but there's two U.S. Army personnel in the back of the plane that subdue him to let the pilot do what he needs to do to get back to the present.
Isn't Danger 5 already in charge of killing Hitler?
It is. And kill Hitler. It is a very weird, very bad movie. That
you watched the whole thing?
Oh, I watched the entire thing. Because it's got airplanes and World War II, two of my sweet spots. It is so dumb. It stars a guy who you'd recognize. He's in a million different things. His name is Farhan Tahir.
Okay.
He is in, let me just look real fast, Star Trek, Iron Man.
I already know who he is.
Okay. He is the pilot, William Strong. Will Strong. He has a goofy co-pilot. There's a hot stewardess. There's the square-jawed guy. There's the dorky professors. There's the old man that plays a part at the very end. So anyway, like, they don't have radar. They don't know where they are. They figure it out very easily by looking at rivers on the ground and a bridge that these professors from Akron in 2015 know that they are in Rennes, France in 1940. They eventually make contact with a long-range guy in England who has given them instructions on how to find an airstrip, I think, but then they're attacked by jets. And the Germans don't have jets yet in 1940, but that doesn't matter because, wait a minute, this is an alternate timeline.
Oh.
Because Dunkirk, which was a Allied victory, or not a victory, but they successfully rescued 400,000 Allied troops. In this timeline, the Nazis killed all those troops.
What?
It's pretty fucked up. So they need to drop the radar from the nose of the plane into a safe spot in France and then fly through the wormhole to get back into present day London, and they do all this.
And when they get back to present day London, is it the correct timeline?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
So the wormhole doesn't just go to the past; it goes to a past and an alternate timeline.
And in the back of the spoilers for Flight World War II, which they could have just called like Plane War History in the Sky. It's like two things that are like smashed up against each other. The old man is the radio operator from England writing in his gurnal in the back of the plane, but
wait,
it doesn't.
Wait. His what?
His gurnal.
Like a book where you write down your thoughts and feelings and stuff?
Jeez, I guess I'm not all smart and stuff like you.
Do you mean a journal?
A journal. So the old man in the plane is writing this down in his journal, and it's literally the scribblings of a crazy 15-year-old. And he closes the journal and it says his name, which is the same name of the radio operator in 1940 England. And what that has to do with anything, I don't know. But then the last shot is the pilot, Will Strong, the hero, slow motion walking down the aisle of the plane. They never even leave the plane the entire fucking movie.
No, that way you just use the one set.
Yes. There is a couple, I take it back, there's a couple insert shots of the British soldiers fighting the German soldiers to get to the radar that they dropped with ponchos into out of a, you know, a jet plane moving miles per hour from 10,000 feet that they just get the radar.
A commercial jet.
And an iPad. And then the guy uses the radar to help them escape. Like, oh, they just hooked it up, I guess, using like an old version of Windows 95 or something.
Do they use the iPad?
I have to think so, right?
So
I
mean, there's Wi-Fi know. In alternate
I think
World
they just
War II?
Candy Crush, and they candy crushed the Nazis. It is a really, really bad movie.
It sounds really good. I'm impressed that you watched the whole thing.
I did. That's my Netflix this movie recommendation for next
nice.
Week.
At least somebody will watch Flight World War II based on that. We don't have to talk about it because we've talked about it so much on the website and on this show probably. But did you enjoy Turbo Kid? I know you watched it.
Yes. Oh, I meant to mention that too.
That's all right.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. I don't want to run up against any sort of it didn't speak to me as much as it spoke to you, and probably because I don't have the same shared history.
Right.
It's good. It's really, really good. I don't find myself really thinking about it too much, but I really enjoyed it. And also, I take it – a little caveat is that during the watching of the movie, one of my daughters woke up from a night terror and was awake screaming for like 40 minutes before she calmed down.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was really weird. This is all very new to me, so I'm watching the movie. My daughter wakes up, screams, go up there and try to soothe her, come back downstairs in a very different place. So I finished Turbo Kid having just gone through a night terror soothing session. But yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it. Again, don't have the same kind of ties to that sort of nostalgia that you do. It does work on its own terms, which is great. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, again, I'm aware of its status as like, this is a fun movie for anyone, but I also recognize that like my response to it is very, very personal. Like that is a movie that feels like it was made for me. So I've never claimed that like this is a masterpiece that everyone will enjoy.
You claimed. I'm kidding. No, isn't it great though that movies can work on like it needs to be good?
Nope.
And it also, if it speaks to you in this respect,
they're either the best or the worst. You know how to talk about movies on this movie talking show?
Movie talking show.
Welcome to movie talking show. Welcome to
the real mouse. I recently re-listened to our year-end best of show, our top 10 lists from 2014.
Yes.
And we have an interesting conversation
there about.
How many
spots did I have War Horse on there? How many?
Almost as many as I Bought a Zoo, or We Bought a Zoo.
We Bought a Zoo never was on my top 10.
It was flirting with your top 10 list.
Never.
Anyway, there's a very interesting conversation between you, myself, and Mr. JB, where we talk about movies at face value, like the literal interpretation of a movie, and a movie that maybe can have some more readings, more complex readings. And obviously, last year was a boon for deeper movies in terms of Enemy and Under the Skin. Because those movies, I feel like, work just as like interesting sci-fi, specifically Under the Skin, just a sci-fi thriller, very interesting what's going on, you know, figure this out. And likewise, Enemy has a lot of like thriller aspects to it, a lot of psychological, like uneasy, queasy feeling about that movie. And then, of course, Enemy kind of goes, you know, a little more dramatic departure into sort of like, what does this mean? With the ending, but I think both of them have that sort of like, you can read a lot into these if you want to. If you want to like go down this road, there's so much to kind of peel back and to discover and to kind of have a conversation with yourself and your movie friends about this and what did it mean and what did it mean for you and how does it mean, you know, bigger picture type stuff. But they both work as movies, even if you want to say like, well, aside from that one scene in Enemy, like, which you can't, it's hard to ignore, obviously. Like, they're both just good movies. Turbo Kid, not quite the same thing, but it's like if it works on two levels, awesome. But it needs to work on that first level. It needs to work on the level of like just an enjoyable, and it does in spades.
Yeah, it's certainly not a movie of like hidden meanings or anything like that. It's just everything about specific sensibilities and specific choices that they made, right down to the level of violence. Like that speaks directly to me. You know, that's the movie that I want to see.
Sure.
I don't have that many movies to talk about in terms of what I have seen lately.
That's fine, because I've just talked for an hour. So
much of what I, you know, watch is like for other stuff that I'm either reviewing or I'm not going to talk about Black Mass, even though the Oscar race has officially begun.
Are people saying that about Black Mass?
I feel like a few people have, and those people are the worst kinds of people. Great writer Mark Harris, maybe, I feel like, wrote something on Twitter earlier this week talking about specifically that, like, anyone who says that Black Mass is like an early Oscar contender is doing so out of a need for the race to begin right now. Like, because
that's so crazy.
There's not even like a best makeup, nothing about that movie should be in any kind of Oscar talk unless also, they do best slash worst Boston accents.
But also, like, who would need? I guess there are people out there.
Oh, absolutely, people.
I just don't get it. Like, let's just enjoy the now.
Let's enjoy the moment. As soon as this is kind of awards season now. It starts right in October because summer ends, and now we just divide the movie into the year into two halves. It's like the run up to the Oscars, and then the Oscars are on in what, like February, March, February.
Yeah.
And then we have a few weeks, and then, you know, by April, really, the summer movie season has begun. Next year, it'll be March, because I think Batman versus Superman comes out in March. So,
that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm remembering something you said on a previous podcast about last year's Oscars, how you volunteered to go home to put your kids to bed, and then you ended up watching a movie and not the rest of the Oscar telecast, because who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Like, it was your choice. Like, no, honey, you stay here at this party.
Right.
I'll go home and then I'll watch something in the basement that's not rewarding mediocrity and, you know.
Or whatever. Again, people love it. That's fine. That's great. You know, I just would rather probably watch something else. I watched a movie on Netflix called Skin Trade, which is co-written and produced and starring Dolph Lundgren and Tony Jaa, and you would think that these two actors appearing in the same movie would be awesome, and it's just okay. It has, you know, so many of the problems of so many direct-to-video action movies.
That's a weird movie for a weird name for an action movie. Skin Trade. It almost sounds like a sexy movie.
It's about
sexy stuff.
It's not that sexy unless you think sexual slavery. And the skin trait is sexy, and I hope you don't. Son of a bitch, I hope you don't.
So I really don't, but
he's clearly trying to tackle some bigger topics. And
who's he?
Dolph Lundgren. Like,
did he like direct it or
produce it? Well, he was a writer of it. I don't think he directed it.
Okay.
He didn't direct this one. He did produce it. And there's some cool fights. It's just I've seen enough direct-to-video action movies now where I'm just tired of some of the sameness of all it. Like Ron Perlman plays like a Russian or East European villain, and at what
he's
point
really finding his niche.
And it's just, am I really supposed to believe that he can go toe-to-toe with Dolph Lundgren the way that this movie expects me to? Even Dolph Lundgren versus Tony Jaa doesn't make a lot of sense, but at least Dolph Lundgren has, like, I don't know, a foot and a half on Tony Jaa. He's just a giant. So if you like action movies, or any of those actors, Michael J. White is in it, you know, he gets to fight a little, it's fine. You're not going to hate it, but I was way more excited about it than, the movie kind of delivered on.
Yeah, so much of that just is in your wheelhouse, and it sounds disappointing.
Yeah. I rewatched Return to Sleepaway Camp. Like a week ago, I was
hanging out. Is that the one that came out in the 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like two different, you know, branches of Sleepaway Camp sequels. There was Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 and then part of a 4. And they star like Pamela Springsteen, and they're very overtly comedic. And I don't love them. Scream Factory, I know, put out 2 and 3 and they have their fans. I don't love them. I prefer the sort of insanity of Robert Hiltzik's Sleepaway Camp movies, because he believes that shit.
Right. It's not ironic. It's not trying to be funny. It's like there's humor here, but it's kind of like the Room guy. What's his name?
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, like he made a crazy movie and people thought it was hilarious, and he's like backpedaling now, like, oh no, it was supposed to be hilarious.
Right.
Like, no, you're a legit crazy person. Like, the original Sleepaway Camp is legit crazy, but also hilarious, but not on purpose.
And Robert Hiltzik did not write and direct another movie until Return to Sleepaway Camp in like 2007 or 2008, I think, is when he made it. And it's just as crazy, if not more so. He seems to have grown angrier in the 30 years that passed since Sleepaway Camp.
There's a lot of anger in that first one, though. Are you sure it's angrier when the girl goes, fuck you?
It is 10 times angrier. Oh, it's insane. It's available on Shudder if you're interested in watching it. Literally the only way anyone talks to each other is through rage. Yes, like Every character is hateful and miserable. I guess the protagonist of the movie is a kid who's picked on by everyone, who wears dirty clothes, and whose only friends are frogs, and who is the worst person alive. And you can't, like, just as soon as you start to pity him because everyone is so mean to him, you also find out he's the biggest asshole piece of shit on the planet, and you can't feel sorry for him because he's so fucking hateful. It's insane. I showed it to Mike and Adam Thaz, and they were both kind of worn out by the end of it because it's just such an angry, angry, draining movie that I recommend. I recommend to everyone.
I saw it before we recorded the commentary track for Sleepaway Camp.
Yes.
Remembering just the insanity of it, but I don't remember much about it. I don't remember the rage as much.
Oh, it's only that. It's only everyone hates each other. It has such a weird worldview. And then the only other movie that I'll talk about, I guess, is last night I rewatched Cabin Fever.
Oh.
Because I had posted a review of The Green Inferno yesterday, and I was in the review, I kind of had to provide this context that, like, I'm not coming to this movie from a place of I don't like Eli Roth, because I think a lot of the negative reviews were, and that's fine. I think if that's
if they own up to it right away.
You kind of have to say, like, here's where I'm coming at this movie from, and I have not liked any of this guy's movies, and I don't like this one. So I was trying to explain, like, I've actually liked, you know, pretty much. I mean, I like Cabin Fever. I like Hostel. I like some ideas in Hostel 2. I can't say that I really like the movie, but I like some of what he's trying to do. You know, he's only made 4 movies in like 12 or 14 years. So I rewatched Cabin Fever to see, like, oh, do I really like this movie, or is it just my memory of the movie that I really like? And no, I think that movie's really good. I'm really a fan. And we did a podcast on it very, very early on. We recorded it at your house back when the show used to travel, back in your apartment in Chicago.
Back before your rig, your
microphone setup. And I don't remember what we talked about because, again, it was very early on and no one was listening. And so we were basically just doing it for ourselves. So it could be a terrible show.
So everyone listen and tell us what we talked about.
Go back and find the Cabin Fever show. But no, I'm a fan of that movie. I still think that movie really works in ways that, and again, I was comparing it to, because there's a lot of things, there's a lot of comparisons you could draw between that and Green Inferno. And I just think so much of what he does in Cabin Fever works and then doesn't work in Green Inferno.
So why, what has happened to Eli Roth?
I don't know. I can't possibly answer.
I mean, is it just like, is it fame? Is it sort of like the he's bought into his own myth? I mean, obviously the guy,
I think he wrote a bad movie. He has another movie coming out like in a few weeks called Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves. Because there was such a long period of time where Green Inferno wasn't coming out that he went and made another movie. So I'm curious to see that one, because I'm not ready to say, like, oh, Eli Roth has lost it. You know, he's
such an interesting person, because obviously he was, you know, did Cabin Fever, was kind of discovered by Quentin Tarantino, if I'm not mistaken. So when Hostel comes out, Hostel is like Quentin Tarantino presents Eli Roth's Hostel, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
The chronology is right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, he has a couple acting stints in Tarantino movies in Death Proof and obviously as the Bear Jew in Inglourious Basterds, which, by the way, that part was also – who was also being considered for the Bear Jew part?
It was, I believe, written for Adam Sandler. Yeah. Who went and to do Funny People instead.
And I like Funny People more than most, and I think Eli Roth actually is great as the Bear Jew. He's a little cartoonish at certain points with his Boston
accent. If they would have gotten rid of that, like, Noma knocks it out of the park! That's, like, such a terrible... He's so menacing until he talks in that moment. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like, his introduction is so good.
Right.
And then he talks, and you're like, oh, you're not good. But otherwise, he's fine, except for that one little thing he does.
Then he acted, but then also opened up a haunted house exhibit.
Oh, yeah, that thing in Vegas,
in
right?
Vegas?
The Goratorium or something?
Yeah, yeah, and then I think that's gone. I've been to Vegas a couple times and don't remember seeing any sort of down-on-their-luck person handing out cards on the strip advertising it, because if you've ever been to Vegas, that's all that exists are people walking on the strip and people passing out little business card-sized things for strippers and escorts and shows, and they're all garbage.
Goratoriums.
It's that Mitch Hedberg thing, like, here, you throw this away for me. And then he produced, or he was like, then he had the Quentin Tarantino role of like Eli Roth presents someone else's Earthquake movie, right? Wasn't that him?
Oh yeah, I forgot. Aftershock.
Aftershock. Yeah, that was like
that movie's Eli not Roth. Good.
And then he's, and I've heard of Green Inferno, obviously, been in the works for a long, long time. I remember reading about it a couple of years ago, I think, and it comes out and it's based on Yuri. Not good. It's not good.
No, so I didn't like it. Again, he might have just made a bad movie. Like, you know.
Sure, it's you're allowed, I suppose. But Cabin Fever, I like Cabin Fever so much. I think it's just such an interesting. It's different too. It's not just. It's not a zombie movie. It's not a this movie. It's not a that movie. It's just like a sickly sort of dark, deeply black comic. You know.
And there's people that hate it, you know, like Eli Roth is kind of a polarizing, not just him, because there's a lot of people that can't stand him, but there's people who hate all of his movies, who think it's just a lot of like frat boy bullshit. And I've never really felt that way. I've always felt that he was sort of commenting on that mentality, not necessarily embracing that mentality, but sure. I may have misread all of his previous movies. I don't know. I know
Hostel is such a, I actually like Hostel a lot. I think Hostel has so much, and there's a couple of things I like a lot in Hostel. But I think Hostel is actually a really effective, good movie. And then I was really, really excited about Hostel 2. And I feel like so many people we can say this about is that he learned, as far as I'm concerned, then it's just my opinion, but he learned all the wrong lessons from Hostel. Like he took, what makes Hostel work is not the torture porn. What makes Hostel work is not the gore and the it's the relationships, it's the character development, it's the slow burn. And the stuff at the end is like shocking because it's genuinely like we like these characters. And I feel like Hostel 2, and it's been years since I've seen it, but it was just like just mean, just a mean movie.
It is mean. But it might be better than your memory of it.
Maybe.
I think if you watched it again, right, like divorced from the kind of distaste of like, this is not the first movie.
Sure. And that's,
you might like it more. Because the last time I watched it again, I liked some of what he was trying. There's a ton of stuff that I still just think like,
Which one has Wiener Dog? That's the second one, right?
That's the second one, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And she does this flay her, and it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, that scene is just rough. That scene is rough.
Right.
But there's some good stuff in it, I think, and I like the intent of like kind of trying to follow the kind of behind the scenes. Like that's interesting. And there's that split screen sequence. That's really, really interesting. There's a lot of stuff that he does that works. It's up until Green Inferno. It was my least favorite Eli Roth movie, you know? And now right. This one is hands down my least favorite.
So it's just it's descending. It's 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4.
Is yeah.
The order in which he makes, you know, your favorite movies.
And yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But, I was watching all that stuff, because I'm, you know, so excited for Scary Movie Month. Look at that
segue. Pancakes.
What? So I want to talk about what your plans are and if you have plans for Scary Movie Month. And then I have an email that I want to read to you.
About me?
It's not about you. We have a listener who's seeking some guidance for Scary Movie Month. And I want
to provide that. I love providing direction to people without knowing exactly what I'm talking about. So that's good.
Douglas, you're my best friend.
Yes.
And we have had some movie sleepovers in the past, yes?
Yes, we have.
We're coming up on Scary Movie Month, and you have stayed up all night with me watching scary movies in the past.
I have stayed up all night multiple times. The most recent times, I feel like I went to sleep a couple times, but that's only because I'm old and tired.
I think you went to sleep during Umberto Lenzi's Nightmare City.
I can't recall exactly the movie, but I guarantee it was an Italian horror movie.
You know, Italian horror movies are just one of the kinds of movies that they talk about on Saturday Night Movie Sleepovers, a podcast that you guys should all check out. You've heard me talk about it for the last few weeks now. Dion and Jay Blake over at Saturday Night Movie Sleepovers, every week they get together and talk about a different sleepover-worthy movie, whether it's an old Van Damme action movie, an 80s horror film, something more recent. Their most recent show, they're celebrating their one-year anniversary, and so they do an epic movie sleepover talking about Tim Burton's Batman, which, when that movie came out on VHS was a staple of every sleepover that I went to. It was like the first thing you do. You go over, you watch Batman, and then you have the rest of the night to, I don't know, watch Leviathan or scenes from Revenge of the Nerds. But Batman was the movie when that came out on VHS that I watched at every sleepover. Do you have an old sleepover favorite?
Casualties of War.
Interesting. you had some pretty intense sleepovers.
I remember a couple sleepovers where a friend, my friend Jay Kale, and I would watch. We'd go to the video store and rent all the war movies and watched Platoon a ton and Full Metal Jacket a bunch and Casualties of War, which I don't think we knew what that movie was about. Suffice it to say, Michael J. Fox goes back to the future to tell himself to not do the things in the past.
I know that movie is about Sean Penn acting. but during Scary Movie Month, when you are all caught up on all of our shows, you should definitely go and check out Saturday Night Movie Sleepovers. They have a bunch of horror movie episodes you can check out. Black Christmas, John Carpenter's The Thing, Batman. It's kind of a horror movie, I think. No, it's not. It's not really.
If that's a horror movie, so is Wizard of Oz.
Fulci's Zombie, of course, which I've never shown to Doug.
Blah, blah, blah.
But definitely check out Saturday Night
Zombie.
Check out Saturday Night Movie Sleepovers. If you go to our site, fthismovie.net, you can scroll down and click through the ad that we have there, and that'll take you to their site, or you can check them out on iTunes, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Player FM, on Stitcher, or you go to their site, SaturdayNightSleepovers.podwitz.com, and check out their entire back catalog. It's a free show. It's two friends talking about movies, much like our show. Check them out, and tell them if this movie sent you. Saturday Night Movie Sleepovers.
I'm going to check them out.
So, Douglas, what is your plan this Scary Movie Month?
My plan is to get out of my shell.
I like it.
Very introverted, very kind of like under the radar. I'm going to go. I'm going to watch some scary movies.
That is a good idea. Do you have specific scary movies that you are setting aside?
I'm going to go and watch some scary movies.
Do you start pulling movies ahead of time? Like, I know I'm going to watch this during Scary Movie Month. I know I'm going to watch like that movie where they take the flight to World War II accidentally.
You know what the flight World War II reminded me of? It was like the Langoliers meets like a pile of shit. I will probably go. I don't know. I go all over the place. I like to watch a lot of old stuff, like old Universal Monster stuff. I like to watch 80s slasher stuff. I do feel like I did not, when Mr. Wes Craven passed away, I did not watch one of his movies, but I probably will get into a Wes Craven zone and watch some Wes Craven stuff. But I'm also just going to like probably hit up Netflix for everything they have to offer, which it's so like there's like three great ones, 20 okay ones and like 500 pieces of garbage, right?
Yeah, there's a ton of garbage, so you just have to be careful about.
Is Shudder? Can you do like a month by month Shudder? Could I do Shudder just for October?
I'm pretty sure you could.
I might consider that.
Yeah, I mean they have a lot of good stuff. Although
$5,000.
To be honest, a lot of what they have is also available on either, you know, Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Why is that? I was gonna say Netflix and Amazon Prime usually there's a crossover like 90% of the time. It's curious, like, why they don't have their own sort of, like, niche.
Yeah,
niche.
I mean, they definitely go deeper. They have some more obscure stuff, a lot more maybe foreign stuff than...
Do they have a lot more Umberto Lenzi? Is that, like, do they have...
Not nearly enough.
Okay.
They have very little Lenzi, possibly no Lenzi.
Do they have any Donatello spaghettis?
They because have I... only the one spaghetti film.
Okay.
And that's that one from the early 80s where the boob gets cut off.
Oh
yeah! Spoilers. That's all.
Reggiano movie.
That's in all of them. I'm sorry. What was the one you said?
I'm just being racist.
What was the name you said?
Parmigiano Reggiano. Not that funny.
Pretty funny. I always start Scary Movie Month with the best of intentions, and I'll like make a stack of stuff that I know I want to get to. And I feel like for the last 3 years, all of the Amityville horror movies continue to go unwatched.
Even the remake?
I've seen that one. I've never seen any of the other ones.
In that movie.
The original, The Omen, I still have never seen.
Oh.
Sits in a stack unwatched. And Alexander Aja's Mirrors also sits in a stack unwatched by me for several years now.
Have you seen Back to the Future 3?
I have.
So, you know, at the end when Doc Brown comes and he has a family, he's on the train.
Yeah, yeah.
The little boy that, like, touches his crotch.
Okay.
That's the boy from The Omen, I think. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
So you've kind of seen The Omen.
No, all right. Thank you. I appreciate that. That actually, that helps.
I've seen The Omen, and I'm glad to say that, like, I've seen The Omen, and it's, like, checked off my list. I don't remember The Omen. I remember there's one scene in, like, a graveyard at night. I wasn't, like, affected by it too much. I don't know.
It's a classic, so I feel like I need to see it.
Well, right. Are there any, like, really great newer horror movies on Netflix that I should check out?
I would have to look and see.
Can you look and see?
I will, and we can email each other. I can't really help you on the podcast. So, yeah, I'm more, I guess, day-to-day at this point. And I feel like this year I'm going to try to watch just more stuff I've already seen, stuff from my collection. Like, in the past, I've always tried to really branch out, watch new stuff, watch, you know, garbage on Netflix. But I'm at the point where I've already seen so much of it that I'm
I have,
like,
a recommendation.
Why ruin it? And why not just enjoy this Scary Movie Month? What's your recommendation?
When's the last time you saw Trick or Treat?
I think I watched it last Halloween.
Are you fucking kidding me? It's not really... Trick or Treat, not the
You're talking about the Sammy Black one with Mark Price?
Yes.
It's been a few years.
Well, you should watch that. There's a guy that shoots electricity, and it's pretty scary.
I don't have it on DVD. Mm. It's probably on YouTube, but that's no way to watch a movie. We got an email from someone looking for her name's Kelly, and she was looking for some help because she's wanting to participate in Scary Movie Month and made a list of movies that she's, like, maybe going to watch, but it's a list of, like, 48, and she's trying to get it down to 31. So I'm going to throw out some of the titles on the list, because here's the problem.
This is not the kind
I'm
of
having.
Help I typically offer my Kellys. I usually talk in this voice.
Hey, Kelly.
Here's the problem I'm having with the list. It's super solid, and I cannot think of very many movies that I think should come off of this list.
Okay. And I'm the perfect man for that job, because I will slash and burn.
You're going to whittle this thing down. So I'm going to throw out a title at you, and I guess you just say, like, what? Keep it or dump it? What should be, like, the name of this segment?
Watch it or bury it in the yard.
Okay, all right. Here we go. So the first category is more modern movies. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
The Descent.
Wow, watch it. Yeah.
All right. It Follows.
Watch it.
You're Next.
Watch it.
The Innkeepers.
Shit. Watch it.
The Woman.
See it.
The House of the Devil.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. It's a fucking solid list. Okay, now the next one.
Go back to It Follows. What's it? Refresh my memory. It Follows.
You saw It Follows, didn't you?
I that's why I'm asking you.
It's from this year. It's the movie where it follows you. You have sex, and then there's something that's coming after you?
I haven't seen that. Yes, I have.
It's really good.
Is that the girl? Is that the girl?
Yeah.
At the yes. We'll see it. What was my criteria? Watch it.
Okay, so here's one you haven't seen that I'm going to throw it out. It's called We Are Still Here, and it's from earlier this year. And I really like it, and so I'm going to jump in on Doug's behalf and say, watch it.
Bury that in the yard.
Spring.
What have I seen? Oh, I did see Spring. Yeah. You could skip that for Scary Movie Month. That's like, that could be watched any time of the year.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
See,
like, it doesn't
like, listen, I like
October, like,
I like where your head's at.
Vibe, like, the scary movie. Spring has horror elements, but I don't think it's like a traditional horror movie.
I would agree with that. Hostel?
That could be a maybe list. Ooh. What's the middle? Put it on the I know. Pull it from the shelf, but not all the way out.
Like,
halfway
put it
the shelf.
Put it in the freezer?
Put it in the freezer. Yes. Next to Heather Medlock. Yes. Don't ask why, she's in my freezer.
Stakeland. Have you seen Stakeland?
I have not.
I like Stakeland.
Ethan Hawke?
No.
That's Daybreakers.
That's Daybreakers. I like Stakeland. I think it's one that you could put maybe towards the freezer.
Wait a minute.
Put it on the table near the freezer. And then if there's time, take it off the table and put it in the DVD player and watch it.
This should just be name the rooms in which these
movies Yeah. Okay. So far, and nothing's like, buried in the yard, though, which
piece
I
of furniture.
Which I like.
Here's my question, though. If she plans to do this, I like Kelly. I don't know Kelly, but I like her the cut of her jib. If she does all these this year, will she be in a predicament next year? Not to say that there's hundreds and thousands.
She may have already seen all of these movies. I honestly don't know, but I get the impression that she hasn't. And like, honestly, if she spends her scary movie month watching these movies, she will have a better scary movie month than any human being ever.
Can you imagine watching them all for the first time, like in
one month?
That's
what I'm saying. Like, it's amazing. All right, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Insidious.
Bathroom. No, wait. I like Insidious. Watch it.
Right? The Mist.
No, I'm not as big a Mist fan as everyone else. No, it is good, but it's also maybe kind of falls in the spring category of like it doesn't feel like a horror movie to
me. It's a super horror movie. Are you out of your mind?
Oh, it's fine.
It's monsters and mist, not fog. Mist.
Oh, the fog. She should skip that.
Drag Me to Hell.
Skip.
For real?
Yeah, I like Drag Me to Hell fine. It's Sam Raimi, right?
Yes. And,
it's fine. I watched that last year.
Drag me to the kitchen and maybe watch me during Scary Movie Month.
Ooh, is there a TV in the kitchen?
May.
Okay. Now, how many Lucky McKee movies do you want on your list?
Because May have the and the Woman.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say do May and not the Woman. Save the Woman for next year. Next year, Woman.
Stop it. You're supposed to be helping Kelly.
Kelly,
you're giving her bad advice. All right, now we move to 30s, 40s, 50s. Dracula, the Bela Lugosi one.
I mean, it's not very good.
It is good. Watch it. M is the first one that I would say. I mean, bury it in the yard, but dig it up in November.
Maybe just bury it under a pile of October leaves.
Yeah. And then rake those up. Because honestly, it's bad for you to leave those.
You don't want your grass to die.
You'll get mold on your grass. So rake that up. And then when you're raking, get your copy of M and watch it in November. Because it's a good movie. It's just not a movie that you have
Dracula.
To.
Dracula, I get it. It's historic. There's elements of it. Yeah. It's set the tone. But
I stand by what I said.
Is it? Are you going to watch it this year?
I might. I think it's pretty good.
I don't own you. I don't know you.
I'm a fan. So watch M, but not during October. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, not Spencer Tracy. So I assume you mean the Frederick March one.
I like that movie.
100% watch that movie.
Yeah.
That movie's awesome. House of Wax, the Vincent Price one.
I don't know that movie as well.
It's pretty good. I think you should watch it if there's time. Invaders from Mars.
Skip it.
Yeah, maybe. Dead of Night.
I don't know that.
It's an anthology. People love it. I don't love it as much as some people. If you're looking for, if you want to like mix in classic movies, you can certainly include that, but there might be some other classic movies that are better. Peeping Tom.
Well, recommendation not to, you know, change it up, but if you want an anthology, just watch VHS 2. I mean, that might be on your list already, so.
I don't think it is. Okay, so we're at 60s, 70s. Peeping Tom.
I like where the name of the movie, but I don't know.
It's good. I mean,
never seen it.
That's the thing. It's like, am I saying you absolutely have to watch it this October? Maybe not, but it's really good and probably one of the better horror movies of the 60s. The Birds.
Do me a flavor. Send me her list and all the stuff that I haven't seen. I'll watch.
Every one of these movies on her list is good, though. So there's very little. Well, get rid of that.
Peeping Tom and I have not seen. So I'm saying like everything that I haven't seen.
You're
like, I've
watch.
Seen the Birds. I'll watch Peeping Tom. I'll watch M. Okay. I'll watch that
like
dark, the anthology one. VHS 2, I believe. Is the name.
The Birds, House of Usher.
The Birds is one of my favorite Hitchcock movies. I'd watch that. House of Usher, I don't know if I've seen or if I have. It's been 20 years.
It's Vincent Price, Roger Corman. Repulsion, Roman Polanski. It's really good. Watch it. Carnival of Souls.
Watch it.
Really good. Watch it. Night of the Living Dead.
Carnival of Souls is from the 70s? No.
It's from the 60s.
It is?
Yes.
It's way older.
No.
What was the last one? Night of the Living Dead?
Night of the Living Dead.
Watch it and watch it every day.
Dawn of the Dead.
Watch it.
Carrie.
Watch it.
Last House on the Left.
Skip it.
Interesting.
Yep.
80s and 90s now. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
You gotta watch.
Yeah. Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Which one's that?
Now, here's the thing. Technically, you can skip this one because it's a bad movie. and almost every other movie on this list is great. So you can easily skip Friday the 13th Part 5. Having said that, I love it. This is the one that, with no Jason, spoilers, it's not Jason doing the killing, but it's also the one where, like, the guy has chocolate stains on his face because he's slow. I love it, but you can theoretically skip it unless you want a Friday the 13th movie represented in there somewhere, in which case, yeah, go Part 5. Hellraiser.
Skip it. I don't
Wrong. It's great. Pumpkinhead.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen Pumpkinhead.
Watch it. Wait, it's very good.
You can't just love. You love everything. I'm giving you some perspective. Yeah. Hellraiser is like a weird, like, I don't. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's great.
Kelly, if you have any sensibilities like me, which I'm sure you do, skip Hellraiser.
Pumpkinhead is great. Watch it. Creepshow.
Watch it.
Yes. Psycho 2.
I mean, yeah. But. No.
Psycho 2 is great. The Howling.
By the way, it's so funny. Just quickly about Psycho 2. I have known you for 50 years, and you have always kind of trumpeted and championed
Psycho 2. I'm constantly walking around with a trumpet.
You have championed Psycho 2 as like, hey, listen, if your expectation is Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, like, whatever. But
if your expectation is Gus Van Sant's Psycho...
This is an unbelievable movie, and it gets the just dismissed so easily because a sequel to Psycho from the 80s, like, that's crazy, but it really works. My point in saying all this is that now I'm seeing stuff, even as recently as this week and this or this month, where people are like, kind of, it's like, it's a cult classic. It's got this new, this rebirth of sort of like, if you've previously dismissed this, and I'm like, fucking Patrick Bromley. From years ago was this, saying the same shit.
Yes.
Like, what do you tell me next? Phantom of the Paradise is a good movie? No shit.
There are certainly movies that I've been a little bit ahead of the curve on. And then there are other movies where I will one day be validated. but every...
I am always right. It's either right now or
exactly,
right.
Or soon. There, almost any horror movie, if you wait long enough, like, people will come around on and say, like, no, this movie is actually really good. And sometimes I agree with it, and sometimes I don't, you know. But
you stand on The Howling 2.
I still am not a fan of The Howling 2. Okay, so Psycho 2, yes. The Howling, yes.
I'm not as big a fan as everyone else, but if you want a werewolf movie, I've not heard a werewolf movie mentioned yet, I don't think.
No, so I don't think
watch
so. Yeah.
The Howling. That's Joe Dante, right?
Yeah, it is. Near Dark.
I need to watch that again. So keep it off your list and I'll watch it.
Keep it on your list. It's really good. Monster Squad.
Kelly, I'll watch it for you.
You guys can both watch this movie.
Monster Squad, watch it and then listen to our podcast.
Yes. Pet Cemetery.
Watch it.
People Under the Stairs.
Skip it.
Watch it. Tremors.
You can't say watch it to everything that
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes, I can. She put together an incredible list.
The point of this
every
list
one of these movies
little,
should be.
I'm slash and burn.
This is why I put this to you, and then I'm undermining all of your recommendations. Right. Doug, I'm like, I can't take anything off. Doug, you do it, and then you do it, and I say no, leave it on.
Exactly.
Tremors.
Tremors is also, I feel like, not a movie. Like, you can skip it because it's like you can watch that in February.
Yeah, but don't you feel like some of these? And I understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
But Tremors and Spring, because they both.
Oh, now you're going back to Spring. That was
I am, but here's why. But here's and you're right. You're right about like why it could come off the list.
Yes, right now you are right, Doug.
But at the same time,
go on.
They are technically horror movies, and they provide a different kind of experience. Like, they would offer some respite from all of the like dark, violent stuff. Or
if it were up to you, everything would be Hellraiser and Pinhead. So...
No, that's not true.
Yes.
What's great about horror is that there are so many different kinds of movies within the genre. And so Tremors is like a fun kind of 50s drive-in movie. And
yes,
Spring is
agree.
Like a romance. And so.
And I feel like I watched Tremors last year for Scary Movie Month. My point was to simply, I'm trying to help the poor lady out, and you're making her job worse.
I'm
you're
saying, why not watch 48 movies you're instead of 31? Candyman?
I'll watch it.
Yeah. And then the last section are foreign films.
Skip all those.
I won't even put these to you. She has two Argento movies, Inferno and Deep Red. I say watch both, although I like Inferno better than Deep Red. Almost no one would agree with me. Audition, I say watch. The Eye, not the Jessica Alba one, I've never seen. A Tale of Two Sisters, absolutely watch it.
Wait,
Ringu, I've never seen. I've seen Ringu. The Ring. I don't like The Ring.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not what I'm thinking of.
So I can't help you there, and I apologize for that.
Pontypool, she should watch. That's like Ringu, right? It's Canadian. It's a foreign film.
Did we help or hurt?
I helped. Listen, I'm here to – I live to give. I hope to increase
– I love almost every movie she named on there, you know? Listen, so that's – it's hard for me.
Listener satisfaction by means of This Movie Services, and by doing so, you have undermined the value that people place in me as the honest – in truthful voice.
Right, did any movies get buried in the backyard? I feel like M did. And that's a good movie, but like you don't have to watch it during October, which is good. That's like way less digging that you'll actually have to do.
Well, right. I mean, if you want to help the poor ladies back, we're not burying anything. But are some in the freezer? There's like two.
I'm nothing if not a chiropractor.
There is. There are two in the freezer. No, one in the freezer and one next to the freezer. There's one. When you weren't looking, movies. I put Hellraiser in the microwave.
Movies spread all over the house. That's an amazing list. I don't know how to narrow that list down. Now, those movies are all good.
I'm curious as to like, does she own all these? Does she have access to all these? Because these are going to be, some of these might be hard to track down.
Not that
is this just like her wish list? Because if it's a wish list, you know, go see what you can find also. And
I don't know Kelly's life. Do you understand?
I don't know your life.
I think I own all those movies, so you can watch them at my house.
You've got about 10,000 movies. That is not an exaggeration.
Douglas, can you come to my house for October?
This is what I was going to say. This might be the first.
I think it is.
I say might.
I don't want to talk about it because I'm going to be sad.
No, listen. I say might because if there's a miracle, if. Okay.
Don't get my hopes up.
What are your thoughts about crowdfunding? What do you think about GoFundMe or Kickstarter to get Doug? L.A. Doug, douchey, pretentious, up his own ass with his own opinions and burying stuff in the yard constantly. If our fan base would fly me out there, I'll fly commercial. Okay? I will fly business, maybe economy plus. That's the lowest I'll go. Or if there's a pilot out there, I will gladly.
Ooh, wait a second. There has been some really weird things happening to commercial jets lately.
Oh, okay. Go on.
I heard about this one. I don't need to continue the joke, right? We're good. We all see where this is going.
Oh, yeah, of course. I think Martin Sheen can fly me like kind of half the way there, but maybe then just drop me back off with my wife. Like, he missed you. Like, no, I want to go to Chicago. Martin Sheen, you are constantly failing as a pilot and a father. I am not seeking your friendship. Listen, I'll never say never, but this might be the first Scary Movie Month in which I'm not watching Scary Movie Night with you since 1990, 94 maybe.
Yeah.
Since 1994.
Yeah.
So 20 years. Well, that was a good run. It was a good round number. It would kind of suck if this was the last.
We chose the right time to stop. Yeah.
Right. I've been watching one night around Halloween every October. We'd watch a bunch of movies. And then in the past 10 years, even before the podcast, it got really, really intense where we'd do sleepovers, maybe Saturday nights, maybe Friday nights. I don't want to fly in the face of our sponsor, our gracious sponsor. But I have been watching stuff with you for such a long time. It kind of sucks, but thus is the life of a transplant.
A bad friend.
A bad
Port of such Hall. Is the Dutch. Life of a terrible friend. Did I didn't okay so last year we watched a bunch of movies. We stayed up all night watching movies, and I don't think I showed any weird Italian stuff, did I?
Wait, yeah, that was the one. Or was that 2 years ago?
No, that was 2 years ago when we did Nightmare City.
What was the one Nightmare City where we did the marathon podcast? Was that 2 years ago? Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So last year, I don't think we watched anything weird or Italian.
That was probably your fault.
We watched Curtains. Remember Curtains? I'll bet you don't. You might have slept through Curtains.
I think that was the one I
liked Curtains, and I feel I might be alone on that particular ledge. If you're a fan of curtains, write to patrick@fthismovie.net. Yeah, so I know I'm going to be watching a bunch of probably Stephen King movies because I've been on a big Stephen King kick.
Oh, that was my plan last year.
I've read like five Stephen King books in the last month.
Well, the weird thing is, and again, it's my resources. Obviously, you own so much and you've got a little more access to things by having an account with Shudder and some other.
Yeah, I make that shit happen.
Right. You've obviously invested. It's not just about like having access because of you, but it's like you've invested in this. You've got your library, personal library. You've got access to online stuff. I tried to watch a lot of Stephen King stuff last year, and there's very, very little that's on Netflix, or there was last year. And it made me very upset because I was on this kick also, not having just read all of the stuff. But Stephen King is the man, by the way. He is such a good person from everything I read. Like, he sells his script babies for like a dollar. You've heard that, right?
No.
Oh, he has his website has a section, I think it's called Script Babies, where if you're an aspiring filmmaker, you can buy a Stephen King story. He's written he's such a prolific savant. Like, he writes like a madman. He's written hundreds of these short stories, or maybe even, I don't know if they're complete stories or if they're more concepts or outlines, but he will sell them for a dollar to aspiring filmmakers to make a Stephen King movie.
Wow.
It's awesome. And yeah. I actually heard another story too, that the check, he sold the rights to, I believe, Shawshank for $5,000. By the way, my belief, and again, it's not, I don't have this in front of me and I haven't done the research, but my belief is it's 5,000 plus some points or some back end stuff, because to sell Shawshank Redemption for $5,000 seems insane. Yeah. But the story is he's never cashed that check. He actually sent it back to Frank Darabont and said,
use this on the Majestic.
Use this as bail money, I believe is what he wrote.
Darabont, always getting locked up.
Always getting kicked off shows.
So you don't have any, you have no game plan?
No, because anytime I have a game plan, it falls apart in the first week. I'm going to try and watch as many as I can. And
every time you watch a scary movie in October, what are you going to do then?
I'm going to then post my 7-word review on fthismovie.net.
I like what you did there. I like what you did. Yeah, again, we're trying something different this year.
Oh, we are?
We're
not going to watch any scary movies.
Yeah. We're trying to respond to some listener demand. You know, there's no way, unfortunately, in the platform that we use, there are certain websites where you can organize the comments by like newest, oldest, most popular. You know, there's different ways to like sort the comments. We don't have that, unfortunately. I wish we could sort them by newest, because it would make everyone's lives easier during the Scary Movie Challenge. We don't have that. So in responding to some listener requests, we are going to try and break it out each day. So each day there will be a new thread for the Scary Movie Challenge. So any movie you watch during that day, hopefully you'll post it under that day. I don't know really how it's going to work. But so at the end, we'll have 31 different Scary Movie Challenge posts. And then we'll just have to tally all the comments from those. And we'll see how many different posts there are. Again, we ask, you know, try to save the discussion parts for maybe the weekend open threads. Because once we get into all that, then it's hard to keep track of how many comments are titles that were watched and how many comments are discussion, you know. So we try and keep away from doing a lot of side conversation, which I know can be frustrating sometimes, but every weekend we'll have that open thread and you guys can talk about what you've been watching there. Maybe that would help. I don't know.
Okay, I just did some research. Stephen King never cashed the $5,000 check he received for the rights of turning Shawshank into a movie. Instead, years after the movie came out, he framed the check and gave it back to Mr. Darabont with a note, "In case you ever need bail money, love, Steve."
Oh, he really did say that bail money joke.
Yeah, and they're called Dollar Babies. That's the part on his portion on his website. And Frank Darabont was one of the first Dollar Babies. So when he was an aspiring filmmaker, he used a Stephen King dollar script to make a movie.
Wow.
I am a fount of knowledge.
If your movie is terrible, like if you direct Pet Sematary 2, do you have to pay the dollar back?
I think part of the thing, honestly, and this is why it's beneficial. I think Stephen King's a great guy, but I don't think he's just a great guy. I think part of it is like, if this gets anything, like I've got a piece of the pie, which is, I guess, understandable. It's his story, but it's like, it's not just out of the the, you know, virtue of being a great guy. It's right. It's more like if you like, it's more him trying to like, you know, diversify in his funds and wealth and trying to like hitch himself to like the future filmmakers, you know, but
yeah, still great.
Still great thing. So we're going to do different. I spaced during your whole rap, but
it's fine. There's going to be different, 31 different, you know, Scary Movie Challenge posts.
Why?
And we'll add them up at the end.
Our comment section sucks. That's the
yeah.
That's the result, right?
Yeah, I did.
Have you
that.
Ever considered doing a different comment section approach?
If there's a way to do it, I'll do it. I mean, I feel bad like all of a sudden incorporating, you know, disgust or whatever, because everybody then would have to create an account.
Don't they? I mean, not they don't have to right now, but I think well, I guess people can still post anonymously, which kind of annoys me, honestly. But
yeah, it's rarely good, you know. Whenever there's an anonymous post, I have to steel myself, like, oh, this is going to be somebody telling us to fuck off, which it often is, not always, but
right. But again, we're lucky; we don't get too many people telling us to fuck off too often.
We're very, very lucky.
But as the site gets more and more popular, I'm sure we'll see.
And again, you know, a lot of people have been saying this is going to be their first Scary Movie Month. They can't wait to participate. I could not be more excited. I'm trying to put together a couple special shows. There's one that I know about for sure. Yeah. And so we'll see, you know, if we're able to. And again, every year our hope is to make it the best Scary Movie Month yet.
Right.
I'm hoping this one will be.
Wait, so you asked me about my plan. What's your plan?
I'm going to watch scary movies.
That's
no, I already said I pulled
these are
stuff.
Unfair expectations you put on me and you put me on the spot. Frankly, I don't like it.
I have pulled Secondly, stuff. I did talk about this because I've pulled stuff off my shelf.
I understand that.
I hope I get to it. Like right. I'm planning to rewatch Suspiria this October.
But there's no overarching theme or no like you want to do
Nope.
sequence of movies or whatever like
nope.
you I've never seen okay
no I've never really done that in the past. A lot of times there's like one specific franchise that I'll have to watch all of because of the podcast that Mike and I do.
Right. Do you know what that's going to be this month, or do you not want to say?
I won't say what it is. I do know what it's going to be, and the good news is that I don't necessarily have to like rewatch every single one of these movies, and that's good.
I
because sometimes
I understand you don't want to say. Can you whisper it to me?
Yeah
Is it going to be that challenge, Pumpkinhead?
Yeah, you're going to want to go back and watch Pumpkinhead 1 and 2, and there might be more. Okay. I honestly don't know.
Let me just get this straight.
Yeah.
There's Pumpkinhead 1. is there, could just call Pumpkinhead 2? Or is it Pumpkinhead 2? Like...
By the way, the I don't know what you call it. Like, it's not the subtitle. Or it would
the
be the subtitle.
Must be crazy.
What do you call that? Like the
yeah,
is it the subtitle? Subtitle? Like
yeah.
Halloween 3, and then the subtitle would be Season of the Witch.
Right. I knew that subtitle.
So the subtitle of Pumpkinhead 2 is Blood Wings, which I don't think means anything. Like
that's why I go to Hooters.
Hey.
So you're gonna do it on Pumpkinhead? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oops.
It's all the you didn't whisper that part. You
Ooh.
Son of a bitch. I would say that I was going to watch a lot of Wes Craven movies, but I...
Already done that.
Yeah, I kind of
watched...
This
is the thing that I find interesting with you. So, like...
It's gotten way worse. Like, I've watched so much horror year-round now that...
This summer, specifically, you were, like, gotten to this horror groove, and I'm like, don't you... Because there was years, and I'm going back to, like, 2011 or 2012, where you had a bad experience with Scary Movie Month. Like, you were burned out and saw a bunch of bad stuff, which then the next year, thankfully, you got back in the habit... you watched Sister Act 2 is my point. And you were really everything clicked and you really were energized and revitalized by the month. Now you're just watching scary movies. Would you consider horror your favorite genre of movies?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Not, more than action.
Yeah.
Can I expect a heavy horror column?
I could never watch like only action movies. I can watch them here and there, and I go through jags where I'll watch like a lot of direct-to-video Steven Seagal movies, but it's always a short-lived phase, and then I diversify again, but horror is the constant.
Is it because action movies by and large, I mean, I know there's variations, but it's like it's the same movie, whereas horror, like you mentioned before, it's just there's so many different types of horror movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any specific? What's your favorite kind of horror movie? And it's, is it, and why is it haunted house movies?
I don't have a favorite, honestly.
I know you like slashers a bunch, and that just probably speaks to your 80s sensitivities.
Yeah, for sure. But I love monster movies too. And again, I have like, I don't love religious horror. I'm less a fan of, like you joked, kind of haunted house movies.
You're right.
But there's certainly good ones that I love.
I remember that movie from last year. We watched that haunted house movie.
Yeah. What the hell was that? Legend of Hell House?
House on Haunted Hill.
It was the remake of The Haunting, I believe.
The Haunting of Hill House.
It was
the Hell House haunting on the street.
I like the House on Haunted Hill remake, actually.
Is that the one with all the great CGI?
Yeah, that's the one. I like the movie, but I recognize the CGI is not great. We watched The Legend of Hell House, I believe.
And it was Hell House?
Hell House, yes.
What's the house on the hill? There's a movie about some hill. No, for real.
The Haunting of Hill House is like, I think, what The Haunting was based on.
Okay.
It's the story. There's no movie called The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
But then there's House on Haunted Hill as well. And the Legend of Hell House. And The Hills Have Eyes. And The Hills Have Eyes 2. And then The Hills Have Eyes remake. And then The Hills Have Eyes 2, which is a sequel to the remake, but not a remake of the original sequel.
Gotcha.
Do you follow?
Yes.
By the way, I watched that movie recently, The Hills Have Eyes 2, the original Wes Craven sequel, and it's not good. There's a dog flashback. That happens. So I'm super excited. I'm gonna watch all kinds of stuff, and I'm excited too, because during, you know, Scary Movie Month, I get to write about horror movies, which again I kind of do year round, but pretty much exclusively, you know, I'm writing about horror movies during October, and that's always fun to do too.
I would ask that Kelly hit me up on Twitter and send me movie recommendations at Omar Speck.
She clearly has great taste, because she's gonna have the best. She's gonna have a better Scary Movie Month than any of us, I think.
Than any of
she
us, watches for sure.
Any of those movies, you know, even if she randomly cuts however many from 48 to 31, she's still gonna be in great shape, you know, because I think all of those are really, really strong. So,
and then that means her next year, if she chooses to go back to that list,
she
will
has
be
to
just
watch all of the Pumpkinhead movies,
almost as solid.
Just
even Bloodwings.
Oh, especially Blood Wings. She's going to have a purely Pumpkinhead October. Pumpkin-tober. Pumptober? No, I can't make it work.
Tober. It's something tober. It's on the tip of my tober.
So happy Scary Movie Month, everyone.
Yes.
And thanks for listening. As always, you can find our website. We're at fthismovie.net. And we are on Twitter. We're at FThisMovie. You can like us on Facebook or email us, like Kelly did, at FThisMoviePodcast@gmail.com. And make sure if you're tweeting about Scary Movie Month that you hashtag Scary Movie Month, because there are some other sites that have tried to jump on that and modified the hashtag a little bit. And yeah, that irritates me. But we didn't invent the idea of watching scary movies. I just don't like trying to copy the hashtag. But it's Scary Movie Month. And I hope it's great. Watch a ton of scary movies and post about it on the Scary Movie Challenge page at fthismovie.net. And let's have the highest total ever. I don't know. Last year we got over, I think, 1,500. So
that's crazy. But how many of that? I mean, a lot of repeats, obviously, people that are watching stuff multiple days.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of new people. No. I'm not saying that's bad at all. But there's a ton of new people. And a lot of them stuck around, and I'd like to see more stick around. Please stick around. The rest of the year is almost as fun.
Yeah.
We have a great thing in February.
That's true.
We have a great thing in June.
And November, we're going to be watching all the Pumpkinhead movies. So
that's a carryover from.
Be sure to stick.
Novemkinhead. Pumpkinvember.
Thanks for talking to
Did
me,
you
Doug.
Say you were going to watch Suspiria again?
Yeah, I haven't watched it since you and I watched it that time.
I am. I realize I'm a bad friend. I moved away. Hey, ba-ba-boo. But that is sacrilege to me. I feel like we should only watch that together and then do our...
I feel like we should too, but I also feel like I need to see the movie once because I don't feel comfortable saying that I saw it, really, because you and I just goofed through the whole thing.
That's where you and I disagree. I never need to see that movie.
I guarantee I like it so much more this time.
The I only need the perspective of the director of photography, Vincent Gardouche. Vinny Gardouche.
At the ballet.
Which is basically Dracudoug.
That might have been the birth of Dracudoug. I'm excited. But if you guys have shows that you want us to try to do during Scary Movie Month, again, it's hard. We try to cram so many in.
There's
and a lot of times,
so many shows, yeah.
Yeah, there was a week last year where I think we had like three in a week.
But so far, you and I don't have a show lined up.
No, we're going to figure out what it is, though.
But if people want it, that's what I'm saying. That might be a window. If people have recommendations for the twos of us,
yeah. Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
Now, we usually do the less frightening things because I'm a kind of a pansy. I do Monster Squad and
Lost Boys
and stuff like that. But and Cabin Fever.
That was not during October, though.
It wasn't? What about American Psycho? Was that October?
I think that was October.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hit me up with your tame choices.
Anyway. Pumpkinheads. Thank you guys for listening. Happy Scary Movie Month. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.